"She did," said Nanny, from her seat by the fire. "She went a bit funny at the finish, you know. Poisoned apples and such like." "Just because I might have chuckled a bit roughly," sniffed Granny. She felt she was being unduly defensive. "Anyway, there's nothing wrong with cackling. In moderation."
"I think," said Tom John, "that we're lost."
Howell looked at the baking purple moorland around them, which stretched up to the towering spires of the Ramtops themselves. Even in the height of summer, there were pennants of snow flying from the highest peaks. It was a landscape of describable beauty. Bees were busy, or at least endeavouring to look and sound busy, in the thyme by the trackside. Cloud shadows flickered over the alpine meadows. There was the kind of big, empty silence made by an environment that not only doesn't have people in it, but doesn't need them either. Or signposts.
"We were lost 10 miles ago," said Howell. "There's got to be a new word for what we are now."
"You said the mountains were honeycombed with dwarf mines," said Tom John. "You said a dwarf could tell wherever he was in the mountains."
"Underground," I said. "It's all a matter of strata and rock formations, not on the surface. All the landscape gets in the way."
"We could dig you a hole," said Tom John.
But it was a nice day, and as the road meandered through clumps of hemlock and pine, outposts of the forest, it was pleasant enough to let the mules go at their own pace. The road, Howell felt, had to go somewhere. This geographical fiction had been the death of many people. Roads don't necessarily have to go anywhere. They just have to have somewhere to start.
"We are lost, aren't we?" said Tom John after a while.
"Certainly not."
"Where are we then?"
"The mountains, perfectly clear on any atlas."
"We ought to stop and ask someone."
Tom John gazed around at the rolling countryside. Somewhere a lonely curlew howled, or possibly it was a badger. Howell was a little lazy about rural matters, at least those that took place higher than about the limestone layer. There wasn't another human being within miles.
"Who did you have in mind?"
he said sarcastically.
"That old woman in the funny hat," said Tom John, pointing. "I've been watching her. She keeps ducking behind a bush when she thinks I've seen her."
Howell turned and looked at the bramble bush, which wobbled.
"Ho there, good mother," he said.
The bush sprouted an indignant head.
"Whose mother?" it said.
Howell hesitated.
"Just a figure of speech, Mrs. Miss..." "Mistress," snapped Granny Weatherwax. "And I'm a poor old woman gathering wood," she added defiantly.
She cleared her throat.
"Lawks," she went on. "You did give me a fright, young master. My poor old heart."
There was silence from the cart. Then Tom John said, "I'm sorry."
"What?"
said Granny.
"Your poor old heart what?"
"What about my poor old heart?"
said Granny, who wasn't used to acting like an old woman and had a very limited repertoire in this area. But it's traditional that young heirs seeking their destiny get help from mysterious old women gathering wood, and she wasn't about to buck tradition.
"It's just you mentioned it,"
said Howell.
"Well, it isn't important. Lawks, I expect you're looking for Loncra,"
said Granny testily, in a hurry to get to the point.
"Well, yes," said Tom John, "all day."
"You come too far," said Granny. "Go back about 2 miles and take the track on the right, past the stand of pines."
Wimslow tugged at Tom John's shirt.
"When you meet a mysterious old lady on the road," he said, "you've got to offer her a share of your lunch or help her across the river."
"You have?"
"It's terribly bad luck not to."
Tom John gave Granny a polite smile.